Friends, the Word of God comes to us this day from the Gospel of Mark. It is the 7th chapter, the 24th through the 30th verses. You have this printed for you in the bulletin this day. If you would like to, I invite you to join with me as we read this in unison out loud. From there, Jesus and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syro-Phoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So it is an honor to be with you this day, worship with you. It's an honor to be in conversation with you as you begin this festival of faith under this marvelous theme, loving our neighbors. As you heard your senior pastor tell you, Dr. Wilcoxon, you hosted nearly 50 Presbyterian church leaders from different congregations throughout Mississippi and South Alabama these past 2 days. You fed us beautifully, your hospitality. There were so many of you here. You were hosting us. You were very free to tell all these Presbyterian pastors and elders where to go. You were so generous and so kind. You are known to the denomination. Spring Hill Church is known across the Presbyterian Church USA. You are a faithful congregation. You are a generous congregation. It is a delight and an honor to be with you. I do bring you greetings from your sisters and brothers at Village Church Presbyterian Church in Prairie Village, Kansas, where I'm privileged to serve there as one of the pastors on staff. It was my great joy and honor to be a professor when your pastors were students at Columbia Seminary. I have an abundance of stories. For a small amount, I will tell them to you. My name is there. You can make your check out. Just make sure my name is correct. I take Visa, MasterCard, American Express. I'm on Venmo as well. You can just give me some money. I have great stories about Buzz, great stories about Anna. I love them both. You have two amazing pastors serving you at Spring Hill Presbyterian Church. And if you don't know that, then you are stupid. So loving our neighbors is the conversation of this day. I saw the segue. It worked for me. I don't know what your problem is. Jesus is weary. He has been healing and teaching, and this is Mark's gospel. And it says Jesus goes to the region of Tyre. Tyre is an ancient city. Those of you who've done this, you know, in the Holy Land where this is. It's about 50 miles south of Beirut. It's on the Mediterranean Sea. Scholars are interested as to why he would go to Tyre. Tyre is a Gentile city at this point. It's not a Jewish city. It's on the Mediterranean Sea, but Jews would not go. This is not a vacation spot for Jewish people because it's a Gentile city. So they're intrigued as to why Jesus would go to Tyre. The assumption is he wanted to get away, tired of healing and preaching. Even the Lord apparently had moments of being weary. You know this. We believe in the great mystery of faith that Jesus Christ was both fully human and fully God. We talk about the dual natures of Jesus Christ. I don't know how that works, but I think in some points this may have been leaning more into his human side. He was weary. He was tired. So he goes to this town on the Mediterranean Sea. He goes to a house. It had to be a Jewish house because he was not allowed as a faithful Jew to go into a Gentile house. That's against the law. So he goes into a Jewish house there. He's hoping to be away from people. And a woman, a Syro-Phoenician woman. Syro means that she has ancestors out of Syria. Phoenician means that she has ancestors out of Lebanon. A Lebanese-Syrian woman comes into the house. She is a Gentile. She makes her way in because she has a daughter who is unwell. If you look in the text, Mark's language says she has an unclean spirit. That's Mark's code language for something is wrong with her soul. Likely, Bible scholars say, in these days, we would say she was suffering, her daughter was suffering from a serious mental illness. She was struggling. And this Gentile woman hears about this Jewish healer, and so desperate is she, you who are parents, step-parents, caregivers, grandparents, aunts, uncles, you know this desperation. If your child is ill, you will do anything to get them well. She hears about this Jewish healer, and she finds where he is, and she goes into the house, she barges her way in. She has the audacity to interrupt the Lord when he's trying to have some rejuvenation time. And she begs him to heal her own daughter. And Jesus' response is this. He says, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Let the children be fed first. For it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. By any measure, this is a horrible thing to say to this woman. By any measure. When he says, "Let the children be fed first," it is clear that he means whom? Who are the children? Who is Jesus saying he is here for? Whom? Let the Jewish people be fed first. I'm a Jew. I am only here for the Jews. If we're talking about Jesus and his loving our neighbors, his understanding is my neighbors are only other Jews. I'm Jewish. That's why I'm here. I am the Messiah for the Jewish people. By any measure, this is a horrible statement for the Lord to make. Because then he says, it is not fair to take the children's food meant for the Jewish people and feed it to the dogs. In Middle Eastern culture, dogs are seen as hated scavengers. They are the unclean of the unclean. I did read one commentary. It was a horrible commentary. The Bible scholar, dubious claim, he said, "I think actually the better translation must be puppies." That Jesus said, let the children be fed first because you don't want to give the snacks to the puppies. There is no understanding of smaller or diminutive dogs. The text says dogs. And in Middle Eastern culture, to be called a dog is a horrible insult. Clearly, even our Lord had moments when he misunderstood who his neighbors are. He said, "You, ma'am, are not my neighbor. Therefore, I'm not here for you. And why should I love you?" But look what she says. Imagine the courage of this woman, the desperation of this woman to get her daughter healed. Imagine that she takes this insult and she says back to Jesus, she teaches him, she schools him. She says to him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Oh my goodness, what courageous words. Even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And I believe in that moment when she says that truth, Jesus' eyes and his heart are opened. And suddenly he sees her as a neighbor, when before he saw her as anything but a neighbor. He says to her, "Because of what you just said, you go home. And your daughter, she will not suffer from depression anymore. Her bipolar behaviors will be gone. She has a sense of her whole self, her fullest, best self." She goes home, and her daughter is healed. You're embarking on this conversation about loving our neighbors, and it seems to me the first question you have to decide to answer is, then who are our neighbors? Because it's easy to love people who are lovable. It's easy to love Alabama fans, because that is right and good and the kingdom is in order. But by golly, you asked me to love a Clemson fan, and I cannot imagine that that is what God intended for humankind. You want me to love people who think like I do, who vote like I do, who agree about President Trump like I do? Yeah, I'm all over that. Wait, you want me to love people who disagree with me on the president and his latest stance? You want people who watch MSNBC and CNN? I mean, that's brainless. This is ridiculous. Those are not my neighbors. It seems to me, if you're serious about this festival of loving our neighbors theme, you've got to decide who are our neighbors. I think Jesus was schooled by a Gentile woman because her task was to help the Lord see. Your view of neighbors is too narrow, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. And in that moment, his heart was opened. It is our human condition that too often my view of neighbor is too narrow. So it was 14 days, 2 weeks after the close of a thing called the Presbyterian Youth Trinium. This was a gathering of over 7,000 young people from all over the world, mostly the United States and Canada, in Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana. I was one of the leaders of that conference, a 7,000-person week-long conference there in July. There were delegates from churches all over the world. There were delegates from the Presbyterian churches in the Philippines, the Presbyterian church in Brazil, the Presbyterian churches in South Korea, Presbyterian churches in Ghana and South Africa and Kenya, Presbyterian churches in Germany and the Dutch Netherlands. There were Presbyterian delegates from all over the world. It was 14 days after the close of that event that I was taking two groups of young adults to Ghana, sub-Saharan Africa, my first visit in Ghana. We were being hosted by the Presbyterian Church of Ghana. We flew in through London. We got delayed getting to London out of Chicago, and so we missed our first flight to Accra, the capital city of the nation of Ghana. So we spent the night on the floor in London's Heathrow Airport. We were exhausted. We were supposed to arrive the previous day in the middle of the afternoon. We arrived the next day in the middle of the night. Before we went, one of our missionary persons sent me a note and said, "We heard that you're coming. Would you mind, could you possibly pack a bag of this whole list of documents from our national offices and some of the supplies we'd like? When we hear that there are groups coming over, our missionaries would love to have some things brought to them." And so I said, "Sure, I've got an extra empty bag." And so I packed all these documents and some books and a whole bunch of food stuffs that they can't get in Accra, things like stovetop stuffing. I know. Who knew? And then the mission personnel said, "By the way, just to be careful, the security at the airport is not like security here in the United States. So when you get to Accra, just be careful and make sure no one tries to take your bags." Well, I don't know why. This is part of my sinfulness. But that advice locked into my head. And I thought, okay, we got to watch our bags. Because these people are going to try to take our bags. And I told my group of young people, young adults, we have to watch our bags. bags because they're going to try to take our bags. That was really dumb, but that's what locked into my sinful head. So we overnight in Heathrow, we're tired. We get there, middle of the night, supposed to be the previous afternoon. No. The plane opens up. We park on the tarmac. I'll never forget this. They brought the stairs to the big plane. We're going down the stairs. I look to my left, and sure enough, the workers are opening up the cargo bins on the side of this huge plane, and they're just throwing bags out onto the cement tarmac. And I yell at my Presbyterian young adults, "Get your bags!" So we run down there and we start grabbing our bags. And I find the missionary bag and I find my bag. And people are coming out of the terminal. I don't even know who these people are. How did they get through security? They're coming out of the terminal to greet people. And they're hugging relatives and things. And I'm saying to my group, "Hold on to your bags!" We find a pastor who's supposed to be greeting us, and he's been waiting for hours. Tall, handsome man. He comes up and says, "Pastor," I said, yeah, thank you. I'm sorry we're late. He goes, "No, we knew." And he says, "My bus is on the other side of the parking lot outside terminal. Just," I said, "Follow that man and don't drop your bags." And there are people coming at us, and they're trying to take bags, and they're trying to be helpful. I'm like, "Yeah, right, nice. I wasn't born yesterday. You just want to steal our bags." And so I'm telling my delegation, "Just follow that pastor, go to the bus, and hold on," right? And I'm making sure I'm last, because I'm pretty big, and I've got bags, and I can make sure that my group doesn't get lost. And so I'm following them, and just as I'm getting into the terminal, this lovely, beautiful woman stands in front of me, and she looks at me, and she opens her arms for a hug, and says, "Welcome, my brother, it's so good to see you." And I thought, "You are beautiful, but you are not getting my bags." So I shoved her aside with one of my bags, and I'm walking past her, just ignoring her. And she's walking by me, insistent. And what I remember is, I'd never been to sub-Saharan Africa before, and what I remember is seeing her skin. Sub-Saharan Africans, oh, the skin, oh my goodness, it is so beautiful. It is so dark and deep. It's almost a blue tint. And she was beautiful, and she smiled, a gorgeous smile. And she's walking next to me, and she's saying, my brother, why do you not greet your sister? Why do you not greet your sister? I'm looking at her thinking, look, you are a sub-Saharan African Ghanaian, and I'm a Japanese American from the United States. We are not related. Nice try. She's pushing other people out of the way to walk next to me. Finally, she stands right in front of me with her hands on her hips to be insistent. And she says, "Roger, why do you not recognize your sister?" And I stopped and I thought, dang, you are really good at this. But you are not getting my bags. And she reaches into her blouse and she pulls out this cross. This is one of the crosses that we gave away to 7,000 young people at the closing worship of the Presbyterian Youth Trinium 2 weeks earlier, in the Hall of Music at Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana. She was one of the Presbyterians from the Presbyterian Church of Ghana. She had come at our invitation to the Youth Trinium. She had spent the whole week with us. She itinerated around to two other groups of Presbyterians, one in Canada and one in upstate Wisconsin. Then she'd flown back. She had heard that there was a delegation of young people coming. I had met the Ghanaian delegation for about 15 minutes during the course of the week. I greeted them. I said, "We're so glad you are here." There were four of them. She was one of the four. I blurted out to them during that meeting in Purdue University, "Oh, Ghana, I'm going to be there in 2 weeks." "You are? When?" And I gave her the day, which was the previous day. I learned later she had flown back from the United States. She'd gone to her village in northern Ghana. She dropped her bags and her things and said, "I have to go back to Accra because my brother is coming to Africa and I want to be there to greet him when he returns to Mother Africa." She had traveled back to Accra. She had spent 3 nights on the floor at Kotoka International Airport. She was waiting to welcome me home to a place I had never, ever been. I looked at her wearing this cross. I was wearing a similar cross on that same day. I dropped my bags. And I opened my arms. And I said, "Oh, my sister, please forgive me. I didn't recognize you. I am so glad to be home in Mother Africa." Loving our neighbors means you have to realize who are our neighbors. We are the Church of Jesus Christ. You and I are children of the living God. Your pastor said it twice this morning. In life and in death, we belong to God. Be under no illusion, church. The we is not just Spring Hill Presbyterian Church. The we is all who are created in God's image. Understand this to be true. Our neighbors live in Ghana. Our neighbors are the ones who can welcome me home to a place I had not yet been. Because that is not our doing. That is the grace of God in Jesus Christ. I am grateful for a persistent young woman from the Presbyterian Church of Ghana. I am grateful for a persistent Syrophoenician mother who would do anything to get her daughter well. I think she changed our Lord's worldview. I think she helped him. She helps us all. See, all are our neighbors. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.